You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 18th, 2020, 99% of the cases of coronavirus are in China. 99%. The U.S. has 15 patients, but 99% of the cases are in China. And now we're told the head of a major hospital in China died from coronavirus this morning, as another 1,800 cases were reported. We do not know how bad it is in China, but we are hearing that U.S. businesses are saying we cannot get enough staff in our facilities for production lines. 80% of U.S. businesses in the Shanghai area say they lack the manpower to run at full speed. China is one of the top three suppliers, along Canada and Mexico, of intermediate goods. They go into final products that are then finalized in the U.S. It is likely the largest supplier of intermediate goods to the U.S. economy. That means repercussions will be felt here when it comes to jobs and the economy. President Trump tweeting out, he's threatening lawsuits. He said there were Mueller prosecutors, the whole Mueller investigation illegally set up based on a phony, now fully discredited, fake dossier, lying and forging documents to the FISA court, and many other things. So he said, I want to sue. We'll see if he does. Michael Bloomberg makes it to the debate. He will be on stage tomorrow night. He ratcheted up to 19% in a recent poll. That's the fourth national poll to put him above the 10% mark since January 15. So that means he will get to be on the debate stage. Michael Bloomberg has already spent more than $400 million of his own money on advertising. Should be an interesting debate tomorrow with him on board, assuming he shows any personality. And some say even with his money, Bloomberg cannot buy a personality. The Boy Scouts of America filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Decades of sexual abuse claims bankrupting the BSA. One firm in New York represents something like 300 victims and said this is going to be bigger in scale than any other sex abuse bankruptcy. I do have a story I want to share, reference the Boy Scouts and my time in it, later in this hour. In an effort to speed up construction of 177 miles of a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, Trump administration and Department of Homeland Security now waiving contracting laws, trying to speed up the construction. They want to build the wall faster than ever. And in the meantime, we're told that once again, we're doing perfect when it comes to truly deporting illegals. There had been a time that illegals were just shuttled back across the border, and we hope they went farther south, not turned back to the north. Now what we've been doing is taking those we're deporting and putting them on jet planes, taking them deep into the interior of Mexico, like 1,000-plus miles away from our border, and letting them off in Mexico City or someplace like that. Makes it harder for them to return right away, and yet many do. Well, they did finally get the Daytona 500 underway yesterday. Denny Hamlin winning his third. Ryan Newman, of course, hospitalized in a fiery wreck at the finish. Late word is he's going to be okay. He will survive. But it was a scary wreck. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is now committing $10 billion. $10 billion to climate change and to fight it. $10 billion. Jeff Bezos just purchased the most expensive real estate in Los Angeles, $165 million. a mansion with gardens, guest houses, 9-hole golf course. Wonder how much carbon footprint that house makes. Just asking. Plymouth Rock and other landmarks found vandalized after Plymouth, Massachusetts gears up to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrim's arrival on the Mayflower. Somebody went out to that famous rock of the 1620 landing site and covered it with red graffiti. Obscene, spray-painted messages, some of it directed at police. Why? Well, because they could, and they like to vandalize, and now they're doing what they can to clear the paint. And hopefully we'll have it done in time.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I can't even envision a situation where he would be reelected. But we are not. We don't take anything for granted. We have to have our own vision for the future. But everybody knows that we must be unified in making sure that he does not have a second term.
Nancy Pelosi saying we've survived one term of this man. We survived one term. And she's warning fellow Democrats, you've got to come together. Easier said than done, isn't it, right now? Especially with the sniping going on between the individual candidates still in the field. Elizabeth Warren the other day stood up and said, hey, let's cool it a little bit. You know, we can't just fight to see who's the last person standing. We've got to join together. I think that might have been her beginning effort to say, I cannot carry an election as a presidential candidate, but maybe I can get on a ticket with someone. Hey, I'm right here. And, of course, a word coming out yesterday, speculation that maybe Hillary Clinton might come in and join the Bloomberg ticket, because how else is he going to really win when it comes against Trump? For that matter, who can beat Trump out of these candidates? They don't even begin to draw the number of crowds. The only group that does have a lot of passion of supporters, I should say, would be the Bernie crowd. They have a lot of passion. Bloomberg really hasn't cared about gathering crowds. He's just buying his way across the country. $400 million, personal money in ad campaigns. So Nancy is saying, we know one thing. We have a better vision for America, and we must defeat Donald Trump, who does not share a vision that is about unity and unifying the country under socialism. Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't say that. I did. But she stresses the Democrat Party is a party of vitality and socialism. Oh, that's my word again. Sorry. A party of vitality, differences of opinion, which we will resolve. Right. She said, I have trust in the American people. No, you don't. That's why you were trying this impeachment farce. You don't have trust in the American people. You don't have trust in the American people because you guys say, well, because we lost last time, we also need to get rid of the Electoral College. You don't have trust in the American people. But she's saying now that I think each of the 2020 Democrat hopefuls have made a very valuable contribution. And that it is easy for me to say that any one of them would be a better president than what we currently have in the White House. In fact, she added, I think every one of our candidates, all 25, I don't know if Michael Bloomberg is counted in the 25, but Michael Bloomberg too, have made a very valuable contribution to the debate, putting forth their vision, their knowledge, their judgment, their strategic thinking. And where are those 25 right now? Who's left of the 25? What happened to the diversity of the Democrat Party, the woke party that was going to make America suddenly realize we can't all be white, we can't all be old, and we can't all be men? That's pretty much what they're left with. Oh, yeah, they've got Senator Warren still in the race and Senator Amy Klobuchar. And Pelosi, of course, still is not endorsing anybody. And did say, I'm not yet counting out former Vice President Joe Biden. She didn't really mention anything about Senator Bernie Sanders, who's one of the front runners. She kind of wants to sidestep Bernie Sanders because Nancy realizes he is too far left for her party, too far left for her. Oh, she signed on, gave some lip acceptance a little bit to the Ocasio-Cortez group. And she got them to kind of back off a little bit. But now, of course, she's deciding otherwise. But again, Pelosi said, survival is what's at stake here.
Our country is great. The American people are wonderful. We're a resilient country. We can withstand one term. But the destruction that he would do to the courts of our country and the environment, where he says, I'm not going to use science as any basis for decisions on the environment, when he says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want, he must be defeated.
He must be defeated. We cannot stand the destruction Trump will do in a second term. So says Nancy Pelosi. Now, she was doing that interview with CNN and an interview with Christine Amanpour, and basically saying, this is why it is so important that we get rid of this man. And, of course, she's got a lot of support among the Democrats. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, for instance, she says that Trump's tweets are all an attempt to trick everyone, and that the president doesn't believe there's any range on him, he could do whatever he wants. They all are in the same echo chamber. Trump does what he wants, and he's wrong, he's mean, he's evil, he's bad for the country. You hear it over and over and over and over again. But then when it came to the impeachment, he was unimpeached. Which brings an interesting point forward here. When I say he wasn't impeached, it was not carried to fulfillment. Articles of impeachment were filed in the House. Then it goes to the Senate, where they have, quote, the trial. And even during the interview with Nancy Pelosi, Christine Amanpour got in trouble with the liberal leader, as she said, well, Trump is basically vindicated. Oh, watch how Nancy responded.
What about, though, the fact that the president seems liberated? And this is about Democratic politics, so I'm not asking you to criticize here. But he was acquitted. His poll ratings are high.
There was no acquittal. You can't have an acquittal unless you have a trial. And you can't have a trial when you have witnesses and documents. So he can say he's acquitted, and the headlines can say acquitted. But he's impeached forever.
Well, there you have it. They still say there was no trial. They had the trial in the House when they came up with their charges. They had their witnesses. They had whatever evidence they had, and they took it to the Senate, and it fell short. But they still will not accept the finding, just as they will not accept the finding of the American electorate when they decided Trump, not Hillary, and when they decided again Trump, not any of these other bozos you're running around the country with. And they will again continue to fight and resist every step of the way. And they will look for ways to undo the Trump administration the second time around. When the CNN anchor said that Trump was acquitted, and Pelosi interrupts and says, no, he wasn't. Pelosi's wrong. Now, it is true. He's going to carry that label that he was impeached forever. I mean, we still talk about Bill Clinton was impeached, but not convicted in the Senate. Richard Nixon was impeached, but we never had a trial because he resigned. So to that extent, you could say she's right. There will always be that mark. But I say it could be worn not as a mark of shame, but a badge of courage by this president. And, of course, you have all of these Democrats out there trying to decide how we can get control of everything again. We have to have control. And there is panic as to who is going to be able to lead the Democrats to the new land. Hollywood elites are among those frightened. They are frightened. They do not know what can be done next. I'm looking at a piece here quoting actress, singer, entertainer Cher. She admits that Joe Biden carries too much negative baggage, not able to run a smooth presidential campaign. She said he's a good, honest man. That's what she said, but not for president. Well, first of all, part of the baggage she's complaining about questions if Biden is a good, honest man, as we were discussing earlier in the last hour. Burisma, and how he went to the leaders of Ukraine and said, if you don't stop the investigation of Burisma, where my son is a board member, you will not get any U.S. dollars. That's part of his baggage. And Cher is also dismissing all the other presidential hopefuls. She writes that none of them appear able to beat Trump in November. None of them. Look at the money they're spending. Senator Elizabeth Warren, did you think Cher would support you? No, she doesn't think you're capable. Bernie Sanders? No. Cher doesn't think you're capable of beating Trump. Bloomberg? No. She still doesn't think he is either. She said the Democrats, quote, need a magnetic leader to bring us together with impeccable background who can hit the ground running. Well, there's your problem. You don't have any Democrats with an impeccable background. And then she did raise a question. What if Bloomberg asked Hillary to be his VP? That's the only thing that she's looking at that might finally put together a combination that can defeat Donald Trump. Otherwise, she's also in panic. Nancy Pelosi hears the cries of people like Cher, the other Hollywood elite, and others inside her party. And she's trying to tell them, you got to toughen up. She says, especially for the women candidates, you got to toughen up. In fact, here's how Nancy tells them, basically, how to wage a cage fight. This is something like maybe she watched a cage match with Conor McGregor and says, okay, now I know how we go. We do a cage match. Listen to Nancy.
I always say in the arena to our candidates, when you're in that arena, and I say this to the women members, we're so proud to have so many now, 91 Democrats. I say to them, and you're in the arena, you have to be prepared to throw a punch because you have to be prepared to take a punch.
Yeah. You got to be prepared to throw a punch. You have to be prepared to take a punch. The knockout blow. That's what Hillary got the last time around. The knockout blow. She's staggering up off the mat again. May try to surface in some form or another. When Bloomberg and the others realize for all their money, for all their campaigning, for all their efforts, they still have members inside their own party that say, you just don't excite me. I don't think you can carry the water. I don't think you can put Trump down. I just don't think you're going to be able to do it. They might be thinking, what if we run a triumvirate? Maybe we put Sanders and Bloomberg and maybe Hillary all together as a president, a three-tag team president. Rather than just do a simple cage match one-on-one, let's do tag team. You go in for a while, and I'll tag you out, and you come back in. And you come out, and you maybe we can defeat Trump like that. Does that sound silly? Of course, because that's what they're doing right now. They are so lost. They don't know where to go. This debate coming up tomorrow night in Nevada with Bloomberg back on the stage is not going to do anything to improve the image of the Democrat Party. It's going to do more to undo whatever good reputation they might have. Obama? Michelle? Nope, she's not coming. But the former president says, hey, if you like everything is good in our country right now, I'll take the credit. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I'm ready for it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
While we were in that break, more breaking news. We mentioned earlier that President Trump had issued a pardon to 18 individuals. Now we're learning the other names. He is commuting the sentence of former Illinois Governor Blagojevich. President Trump commuting that sentence of Blagojevich. And also, let me see, there's another one coming up here. He's going to pardon former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik. Going to give him a full pardon. He also, as we said earlier, gave, by an executive order, a pardon to Eddie DeBartolo Jr., who had owned the San Francisco 49ers. But I think the biggest news is going to be, everyone looking at now, will be Blagojevich. Former Illinois Governor Blagojevich having his sentence commuted. I'll continue to watch that and monitor it for you as we go through the close of the hour here. Former President Barack Obama said this yesterday. 11 years ago today, near the bottom of the worst recession in generations, I signed the Recovery Act, paving the way for more than a decade of economic growth, the longest streak of job creation in American history. He shared a picture of his $787 billion stimulus spending package. He wants to claim credit for our economy at this point. He had already said we will never get the kind of numbers that we now have. He said it won't happen. He said, what, Trump has a magic wand? He'll never get those numbers, and we have. Black unemployment, the lowest in history. Unemployment, a record low at this point. Businesses starting up. Businesses gearing up for more activity, hiring more folks. But Obama wants a credit now. In fact, he had said that back in 2018. He said, when you hear all this talk about economic miracles right now, remember who started it. Remember who started it. Come on. And he points to the Recovery Act. That was the job shovel-ready jobs. Remember that? And then they realized, and he even joked, I guess we're not shovel-ready yet, as if it were a joke. And he said, we will not see the growth that Trump is predicting. Well, in fact, we have, and we continue. It wasn't just the stimulus package signed by Obama. It's been Trump's tax cuts and regulatory cuts, all helping the American economy catch fire. We have record high stock markets, gains, wage gains, historic unemployment rates, an expansion now the longest on record. Now, why would Obama come forward and say, I want credit for it? It's not going to get him reelected or anything like that, but maybe he'll have some of those at the debate give him some kudos at the debate tomorrow night and try to get on those coattails as if it might help him. Maybe. Boy Scouts of America filing a lawsuit because of all the charges that Boy Scouts were sexually abused. I'll have that story and more when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the latest figures I've seen on how many students are high school level in our nation is around 1.5 million. Grades 9 through 12, I'm considering high school. 1.5 million. With that in mind, just under 2% of them, according to a survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, 1.8% of high school students identify as transgender. That study was published in 2019, so obviously it's dated. And it also found at that time that 34% of transgender youth tried to commit suicide in the previous 12 months. In Ohio, two Republican lawmakers are introducing a bill that would make it possible to charge doctors with a third-degree felony if they perform gender-affirming surgeries or other medical treatments on children under the age of 18. They say this would allow parents to file civil lawsuits against physicians as well. One of the sponsors said, what we're concerned about is Ohio's most vulnerable children being subjected to experimental, unproven, and expensive treatments and surgeries. He said references suicide rate among those who identify as transgender. The best suicide prevention is to care and guide, not to sterilize. Obviously, these procedures bring about sterilization, which is a very, very permanent decision being made at such a young age. And then went on, according to one woman who agrees with this, said families are being coerced, kids are being gaslighted by the medical community into believing this fantasy. They're being told they can be actually the opposite sex if they're not happy where they are. We have in this nation, no doubt, many legit cases where children have, before any publication, anything put in front of them, have had doubts as to their self-worth, their self-esteem, and where they are and where they fit in. For kids, that's pretty common at some point in their life for many of them. It does not mean they need to have a transgender operation. It does mean that sometimes kids will experiment or move into homosexuality as a sometime event, maybe forever, and maybe not. It also means that adults can prey upon these vulnerable kids, not sure what they're doing and what they should be doing. The Boy Scouts of America, an outstanding organization from its beginning, now filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Decades of sexual abuse claims. Boy Scouts, 110 years old, and their claims going back, as I said, decades ago. And I can attest to one in just a moment. Sex abuse settlements, straining the Boy Scout finances, states passing laws last year so victims from long-ago abuse can sue for damages. An attorney representing 300 victims in New York said this bankruptcy will be, quote, bigger in scale than any other sex abuse bankruptcy. We do know, of course, about the Catholic Church and its issues with priest preying upon children, boys in particular. And here we have it in the Boy Scouts of America. 100+ years of teaching young men how to have self-esteem and faith in their own ability and courage and fortitude and learning to, they can do something with their lives. And yet, at the same time, in the midst were those who were abusing the kids. I have related this story before, but for some of you who have not heard it, I was in the Boy Scouts. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I got in as in the Cub Scouts, going through Weeblo and all the way up to life in the Boy Scouts. I think I missed one or two merit badges becoming an Eagle Scout, but my family moved a lot, and it was pretty hard to fulfill the obligations. But at one point where we were living, when I was in the Scouts, the Scoutmaster was a physician, a doctor who basically was in private practice, I mean, as a family physician, I should say. He seemed to have a real care for us boys and what we're doing, actively helping support, maybe adding some money that we couldn't raise otherwise for something we were trying to do. Sometimes taking a bunch of us out to eat, sometimes having some of us over to his house with the approval, of course, of the parents, because it's a doctor inviting us to go to his house to have dinner. And maybe he'd fix up something special that West Texas boys would never order otherwise, and we were kind of learning to eat it and taste it and explore. And he had classical music he would put on his stereo, pausing it and teaching us different things about classical music, which if maybe we cared, maybe we didn't, but someone was paying attention to us. Now, I had parents who cared about me. They loved me, and I had no doubt about that love and concern and their care for me. Some of the other kids, not so much. So the Boy Scouts really became an organization for them, for they could be themselves, and they knew that they were cared for by other scouts who became best friends and by scout leaders. Now, I remember one specific time. The doctor had asked my parents if he could take me to another town for some great Mexican food he heard they had. And they said, sure. I think, to my knowledge, I want to say it might have been something like an half an hour, maybe a little bit more drive. I don't recall. I do know that when we started back that night, and we had a fine, pleasant meal and everything, and we talked about scouting and things he wanted to know about me and what I wanted to be and so forth. And again, that's for an adult and a child to have a conversation like that. It's a way to learn to have a conversation with an adult or with anyone. So it's still a teaching experience. And then driving back that night, we suddenly got caught in a massive sandstorm. And what should have been maybe a 30 or 40 minute drive back ended up being longer than an hour plus, how much more I couldn't recall. But it was really late. So he had to take me straight home. To this day, I don't know what his intention might have been. Maybe nothing. But then there came a word in our little newspaper in the town. Charges of sexual abuse or words to that effect, which I can't even recall how they would have defined it, filed against this doctor by two or three children in his practice, and then maybe some of the scouts. I can't recall if that was even confirmed or not. But immediately, of course, he had to leave the scouts, couldn't be around us. And then he apparently committed suicide. Found in his bathroom, pills scattered about, taking a lot of pills. That was the story I was given. I don't remember if it was being reported, rumored, whatever. But he was dead. And in my mind, the doctor that had filed the original complaint that there might be something wrong going on with how he's treating patients, especially young children, especially young boys, I believe that that doctor had tried to kill him. I did. That's the mindset I had at the time. I even wrote a letter saying, I know how you did it. I know how you can take a piece of metal pipe, you wrap newspaper around it, hit somebody in the head, no one can tell. That's how naive I was. By chance, my mother intercepted the letter before it left the house. And she told my dad. And when he came home that night, he sat down with me. And of all the talks I'd had with my dad, one involving the death of a young friend, and then this one, or two that stand out in my life. And I was insisting there's no way doctor could have done this, that he didn't do it, he didn't take his own life. My dad just basically said, Larry, there are times you're going to find in life people are not who you think they are. In fact, they're dramatically different than who and what you think they are. And we may never know. But he said, in this case, it's better that you are not associating with the doctor anymore. I still had a hard time buying it. But looking back on it now, I think that's probably exactly what we've seen in all these cases being filed against the Boy Scouts of America over the last 20, 30 decades. It's a shame. Great organization. Destroyed from within. Another story coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so let me bring you up to speed on this story we've been breaking throughout the program today, and that is President Trump commuting the sentence of former Democrat Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Blagojevich had been convicted in a high-profile corruption case for attempting to sell Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat when the junior senator went on to become president. The president now confirming that he's going to grant clemency for the ex-governor and said his sentence was ridiculous. He said he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That's a commutation. He issued a pardon against former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik, sentenced on tax fraud charges in 2010. And he's doing this on the same day that he's also granting a full pardon to former San Francisco 49ers owner Edward DeBartolo Jr., convicted of failing to report a bribe to the former governor of Louisiana when he pled guilty in 1998. Blagojevich had been convicted in 2010 on corruption charges, sentenced to 14 years in federal prison. He's been serving it in Littleton, Colorado. And Trump was considering a commutation last year, but they were put on hold. Now tweeting that we're going to give him a commutation. Not a pardon. A commutation is an executive lowering of the penalty. The pardon is an executive forgiveness of the crime. So a pardon would wipe out Blagojevich's conviction. It's not wiping out his conviction. He still stands convicted. A commutation leaves the conviction but wipes out the punishment. So Blagojevich will soon be out of jail, free to travel about the country again. There'll be more stories developing on that. We'll pick up more on it for you tomorrow as well, but you can let your friends and neighbors know you heard it while listening to Larry Connors USA today. So there are some folks living in one state that want to get the heck out of that state. They say it's too liberal. Oh, I could be talking about California, but I'm not. In this case, I'm talking about Oregon. There's a group of frustrated Oregon conservatives. They have tried everything, they say, from voting out Democrat state officials they consider too liberal to trying to recall the state's governor and even appealing to their Washington, D.C. representatives. They're not getting anything. So here's what they want to do. They want to leave the state. By leaving the state, what they really want to do is move the border with neighboring Idaho westward. Move Oregon's border for greater Idaho. That's the name of the group. Move Oregon's border for greater Idaho. It has initial approval from two counties, Bargaset back in southeastern Oregon. It could be a question on a redrawn state border with Idaho. This is what one of those signing the petition said. Rural counties have become increasingly outraged by laws coming out of the Oregon legislature that threaten our livelihoods, our industries, our wallet, our gun rights, and our values. We tried voting those legislators out, but rural Oregon is outnumbered. Our voices are now ignored. This is our last resort. They are trying to change and get out of Oregon by redrawing border lines and becoming a state called Greater Idaho. In other words, if we can't get out, let's redraw the map. That's one way to be free of all these liberals in Oregon. I know, you had to ask, are they smoking something up there? Yeah, they are. They smoke a lot of it up in Oregon, as a matter of fact, both conservative and liberal. In fact, Oregon, if I recall seeing right, they have grown so much pot in the time that they've been allowed to do it. If they didn't grow another pot plant for decades, it had plenty of pot in Oregon. In fact, they cannot ship it out anywhere else now because so many other states are growing their own now. Now, I don't know if they want to move the pot farms as well, but they just certainly want to get rid of the liberals, the liberal Democrats. Oh, if it were only that easy. I'm already worried about what's happening in Texas. There have been talk, concern that Is it going to go blue this time around? Do they have enough support and standing in Austin and El Paso to make the red state of Texas turn blue or at least purple this time around instead of be a full redneck red state? That frightens the daylights out of me, believe me. Wouldn't it be great if we could just put all the liberals in their own little state? Let them have their own little socialist country. They all said they were going to leave anyway if Trump got elected. They're going to leave, go to Mars, whatever, go to Canada. Let's help them out. Let's create a fund. We'll buy your ticket one way. Adios. Because Trump is going to win again. So if you don't like it now, you're going to really love the next 4 years. As always, I appreciate you listening. These programs will be up as a podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook momentarily. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Please let your friends, family, and neighbors know we're on the air. Let your enemies know. Get your enemies to listen, either live or on a podcast. We'll be back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.